Good Vuh. It is now Adar Shani, and this is Yisachar Wartell. And look at my apartment. Beautiful, right? I think I had it last week too. Anyway, it's just the background, but it will be pretty cool if it looked like this. Next week, I'll probably have some, Gragers, Hamitash, and Miguel. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, let's get started. We are right at the end of Sefer Shemot, or Shmos, as some people say. And that means we are at Pekudei, which seems largely a repetition of Tetzaveh, right? We had Truma Tetzaveh, and then we had Yaakov Pekudei, but there are some definitely some differences. And there, as I mentioned, there's a lot of things to kind of fill in. There's a lot of hidden things, basically. I should say there's a lot of things that are in the pasuk. So I'm going to talk about probably a couple different things today. We'll see how we do on time. Just trying to think. Next week, it will be Tanis Esther, but I still plan on giving a dvar. So hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, there will be no problems with that and everything will be good. I'm not certain if I'll be talking about Vayikra or if I'll be talking about Purim. Ideally, if there's some way to tie it together. Now, speaking of tying things together, I'm going to do so right now with Parshat Pekudei. So this parsha lists the completion of the work for the Mishkan, which includes all of the vestments, the garments, the Kohen Gadol. That many of these garments, as well as many of the Mishkan's fabrics, were intricately woven and had to be. The terminology used to describe this is known as Ma'aseh Choshev, which is literally translated as a weaver's craft, although you can also translate the word Choshev in a different way. You can translate it as to contemplate or to think or to calculate. It's an interesting choice of word, and it connotes this idea of thoroughness and complexity because a weaver must know exactly, precisely how to interlay threads of the correct thickness and the proper spacing, and how to really put everything together in an appropriate way where it's going to look nice. And of course, the Mishkan, right? It had to be perfect. So the main root of Chashev is to think, right? You have to constantly be thinking how to do this task. You have to do it with the utmost care. And that's true regardless of what you're doing, even if you're not weaving, if you're just anything in life, really, but you need to, anything that's meticulous or anything that involves a lot of detail, you have to think about how to perform it with the right kind of precision. You have to be both a thinker and a crafter or a weaver or whatever, or a builder, whatever it might be. And therefore, it's not surprising that the gematria, the numerical value of chashev, chet shin vet, is equal to another phrase that we see, kol nediv libo v'chol chacham leiv, all those who are generous of heart and all those who are wise-hearted. The two attributes that are given to those who contributed to the Mishkan. We said they are generous of heart and wise of heart. In order to be truly chashuv, which is another word that stems from that, meaning important, one must be both generous and wise. Now, both of these elements needed to be unified in order for the Mishkan to be complete, which is also something that I sort of talk about in my written dvar this week with Betzalel and Aholiab. Yet, interestingly enough, in Perek Lamed Tet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when all items have been enumerated, the Torah does not write that the Mishkan is complete, but rather uses a different word. It doesn't say, well, sort of says complete, but it's a little bit different. It says, "V'tichal kol avodat Mishkan." All of the work of the Mishkan was complete. It doesn't say the Mishkan itself was complete. It says all of the work of the Mishkan was complete. The work may have been complete. The garments were complete. The vessels were complete. They were all made. But the Mishkan itself was not complete until Chazal explained Moshe took part. Rashi writes brilliantly, "Vayavo et haMishkan el Moshe." They brought the Mishkan to Moshe, in a sense, right? They had to bring it to him, right? Some Chazal, I think the Midrash, it says that he actually had to erect the frame, he had to push it up. It was 10 arms tall. However, you want to understand that. But they had all of the necessary components, but they couldn't make it stand. Now, again, whether that means that he literally had to prop it up, or he spiritually had to prop it up, or he had to do some other things, there's different ways of understanding that Midrash. But in a certain sense, it was too heavy for them to lift. And they needed somebody who had the spiritual elevation to be able to lift, so to speak, this Mishkan up to really finish it and complete it. Somebody who had not previously contributed to the construction. Only he could actually lift up these planks, so to speak, both physically and spiritually, or whatever precisely that he did. Yet when Moshe finishes erecting it, the Torah then writes, "Vayechal Moshe et ha-malacha," which is a little confusing, right? And Moshe finished the work. Moshe didn't really do the work. I mean, I guess he did one item of work, like lifting up the frame or whatever precisely he did. But why doesn't it say Moshe completed the Mishkan? Now, one answer for that could be is that Moshe didn't complete the Mishkan. Everybody collectively completed the Mishkan, maybe. But He didn't really finish, all of the work. But it's interesting is that there's two words for work. There's malacha and avoda. Here it says Vayechal Moshe et ha-malacha, which is creative work, as opposed to before it says Vatechal ko avoda tamishka. You use the lesson of avoda. So there were a couple of different things. So first, the avoda, which is the more physical, all the tasks, the work, the completion, the weaving, the melting, everything like that, that had to be completed. Then the malacha, which was the creative act. Now, interestingly enough, you would think that comes before when they're designing stuff, but we're going to assume that this also involves creative spirituality. But however you want to define it, there still was one piece missing. The Shekhinah was not dwelling. The Shekhinah had not dwelt upon it. And therefore, until the Shekhinah had dwelt upon the Mishkan, it was not absolutely complete. Everything that was done by man that could have been done has been done. It was finished. But without Hashem's presence, the Mishkan was simply just an elaborate building. Therefore, when Hashem's glory filled the Mishkan, even though Moshe could not be in its presence, even Moshe Rabbeinu on his high level could not be in his presence because the Shekhinah was so strong, because it was a matter just beyond human beings, even for Moshe Rabbeinu. But this cloud of glory came down, filled the Mishkan, and it gave it its completion. And then that cloud of glory, that Shekhinah, was also the front leading cloud, at least according to some, that led as a signal to Bnei Yisrael for that when they would travel, that when the Shekhinah was upon them, it wasn't necessarily a time to move, even though they did, of course, have to move, that it was a time to think. It uses this lashon of chashev, that everything that went into the Mishkan had to be calculated meticulously and contemplated how things fit. But just because the Mishkan was now complete didn't mean that they didn't have to think anymore. They didn't have to calculate. Every step of the way, they had to figure things out. Now, Baruch Hashem, in the Midbar, they didn't have to like really make that much stuff. They didn't have to do that much stuff. Most stuff Hashem did for them, but they still had to, create certain things here and there. But more importantly, they had to think critically about Torah, and they had to delve into that and toil in Torah and really worry about that. But it's also for future generations as a lesson when we are building things and we are crafting things, or we're working on ourselves. We're being metakin ourselves. We're putting ourselves together, putting pieces of ourselves together, both physically and spiritually. We want to make sure we're choshev. We're constantly thinking and contemplating when we are weaving the strings of ourselves together. We are putting in place all of the pieces that make up everything of who we are. So, wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom. And you want to relax over Shabbos, but also don't forget to think. Shabbat Shalom.